Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
As Americans, we really value the word and the concept and the idea of freedom. Freedom is incredibly important to us as Americans. It's one of our most cherished words. And as Christians, it's something that we value and we appreciate. And we will often pray and say to our Father, thank you that we have the freedom together and to worship and the one and true God. But there is a sad reality, because we are all here today in some sense because of that freedom. But not everyone who is here today is free. There are those who are here today who are in bondage. There are folks who are here today who are in slavery. Those are words the Bible uses to talk about the hold that sin can have on us. It is a taskmaster who grabs hold and won't let go and will control our lives. And the Bible uses words like captive. It uses words like oppressed, that we are a slave to sin. And there are folks who've been Christians a long time and who have salvation, but are not experiencing the freedom that Christ has died to give us. Folks who are still enslaved to some kind of sin in their life, and they don't want it, and they don't like it, and they wish it was different, but it hasn't changed for them. And I've been there, and I understand what that feels like. But I've also experienced freedom in Christ. Jesus said it is for freedom that he has set us free. And I want to tell you this morning that if you have a sin that has a hold of you, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. It is possible, as we learned in Romans chapter 8, to say no to sin and to no longer be a slave, because Jesus has come to set us free. And so today, I look forward to talking about that freedom. Let's worship the Lord Jesus, who gave his life to set us free. This is going to be a short sermon series, but it's one that I've been preparing for a long time, in a number of different scriptures, a number of different seasons in my life, a number of different relationships and interactions that I have had have all informed this sermon series on freedom in Christ. I won't share all those with you, but a couple that I'll share with you have to do with our series that we did on Romans chapter 8. That was a really transformational time that we spent in Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 gives us this incredible view, this incredible view from the summit of what life in Christ looks like. And it begins by saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is a truth. But then it also goes on to point out the truth that sin is still real and Satan is still real, and that in Christ, it is possible to be free from sin, to be free from the slavery and the bondage and the captivity of sin. It is possible, Romans chapter 8 teaches us, for us to say no to sin. And there are a lot of folks who want that to be true, wish that were true, want to claim that truth in Scripture, but are not experiencing that truth. And I want to say to you this morning, it is possible with the Holy Spirit in your life that in Christ you can say no to sin. Another part of that sermon series that really informed this is the day that I shared the demonstration with you, the illustration with you of the boxes, and showed in those boxes that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And I said to you that day that coming later in the year, I was going to share a sermon series with you that was going to give you some tools, was going to give you some strategies to make that visual a reality in your life, that it is possible to be free from sin. It doesn't mean that we will never sin, but it means that we can sin less. And it does mean that sin does not have to have a hold on us. And so that brings us to this series of freedom in Christ. And there's a verse, I've always thought it was interesting the way the verse was phrased, that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. In some ways, that wording is a little strange to me. In some ways, that wording is kind of obvious to me. But I think there is, as is true for so much, for all of Scripture, there is such deep meaning. And not a word in Scripture is wasted. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The reality is, He has set us free. But we are all not living in that freedom. And I want that for us. I want that for all of us, this to live in that freedom. And so that brings us to the series. And really, this series is meant to whet your appetite for a course that we're going to offer on Wednesday nights called Freedom in Christ. And in that course, there are real tools and there are real strategies that have worked for me. They have worked for others. You're actually going to hear from someone else in a few weeks who is experiencing this freedom. And a lot of that comes from what we have learned and what we have put into practice from this, from Scripture that is explained and taught in the Freedom in Christ course. And so this series is for you if you have sin in your life. It is for you if you really have, you know, there was a phrase that was used one time called a signature sin, that sometimes there is just a way that Satan just comes at us relentlessly and consistently and just pounds away at us. And for all of us, it's different, but for all of us, there is some way that he just seems to get a hold of us. And if that is true in your life, this series is for you because it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And we can live in that freedom. And that freedom is for all of us because we all have stuff. That's the word I'm going to use this morning. We just all have stuff in our lives. And Luke chapter 15 gives us a really good framework for that stuff and how it gets into our lives. The beginning of Luke chapter 15, and if you want to follow along in your outline, you can do that. The beginning of Luke chapter 15 tells us, Jesus tells a story about a lost coin, and some of us are like that lost coin. And that lost coin represents stuff that's been taken from us, stuff that has been lost. Wounds that have happened to us. And it's not necessarily something that we did. It's very often something that someone else did. Or maybe sometimes it's just something that happened in the course of life, but it wounded us and it robbed us and we lost something. And it created issues. It created sin. It created stuff in our life. And sometimes that was done to us maliciously. Sometimes it was done to us by people who loved us and had no intention to hurt us. Sometimes it's just genetics. I heard this phrase the other day that said, you can have Jesus in your heart, but grandpa is still in your bones. And there's a truth to that because there is just some things that are passed on to us. There's generational sin that is in our families. And God even acknowledges this in his graciousness. God says the sins of the father will count down to the son for 3 or 4 generations. And that's just true. That is just reality. But then God says that his love and his grace comes down to us for 1,000 generations. And so thank God for his grace and his love and his mercy, but let's deal with grandpa in our bones. And sometimes that's where our stuff comes from. And so sometimes we have stuff just because something has been lost. Jesus next tells a story about a lost sheep. And some of us are like the lost sheep. And the lost sheep represents the way that we just wander. We just wander sometimes. We wander away. We wander away from the safety and the confidence and the peace that we have with Jesus. And when we wander, we always get wounded. We get tangled up in the thorns and in the briars of life. And when we are away from his light and away from his protection, stuff's going to happen to us. And we make ourselves vulnerable when we wander. And we make ourselves vulnerable to predators and to those who intend to harm us. And often we don't really know, we didn't mean to wander. We look up and we have wandered and we don't know how to get back. And so A lot of us have stuff in our life because we have wandered. Jesus next tells a story about a lost son. And some of us are like the lost son. And honestly, the lost son is lost because of his defiance, because of his rebelliousness. He wanted to do his own thing, his own way. We get tired of our father's rules and restrictions, and we think that out there is freedom, and we want that freedom. And usually we find something, but it's pretty short-lived. The pleasure and the freedom are pretty short-lived, and inevitably we get wounded. And those wounds are self-inflicted, and some of us just deal with stuff in our life because of a time that we rebelled. But Jesus also talks about an older brother. He talks about an older brother. And some of us are like the older brother. And when it comes to stuff in our life, the older brother represents the ways that we believe lies about our father. Ways that we don't trust our father. Ways that we think he's holding back on us. And we believe things about him that aren't true. And we don't wander and we don't rebel. But in our belief, in our false belief, it leads us to unhealthy behaviors. And those lies keep us from experiencing the joy and the freedom of being in the home of our Father. And so that's a framework for how stuff, how sin gets in our life and gets a hold of us. And we all have stuff. And the Bible also is very clear about another factor, and that is evil spirits, demonic beings. As Westerners and as rationalists, too often we have kind of closed our eyes to how much Scripture assumes and talks about the spiritual realm and how connected it is to our physical world. And we talked about that in the second sermon of our Holy Spirit series. There is a spiritual realm. It is a part of God's creation. And Scripture is very clear. It is where our enemy lies. And it is where he does his work in our lives. And if we don't take him seriously, then we're going to get taken out. And so we need to learn to defend ourselves. In Ephesians 6 is such an important passage, and it clearly says to us that we can stand, and when the battle is over, we can still be standing when it comes to standing against the evil forces. And so we need strategies, we need weapons that Scripture gives us. And so my point so far in this is that all of us have stuff in our lives. We all have sins, we all have habits, and we all have hurts, and we all have hang-ups, and some of that was done to us. Some of that we did to ourselves. Some of it is the product of evil forces. None of us are immune to it. And when I'm talking about stuff, some of the stuff that may come to your mind, first of all, are addictions. And addictions are definitely a sin that just puts people in bondage and slavery. And too many people are in bondage to addictions. It can be an addiction to alcohol. It could be an addiction to drugs. It could be an addiction to gambling. It could be an addiction to pornography. We could go down a list of addictions. And honestly, there are probably folks in this room who are dealing with that and who are in bondage to that. Some have sought help and they have found freedom, but too many just sit and wish it weren't true. But I'm telling you this morning, you can say no to that sin. It's possible in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those addictions aren't the only stuff that robs us of our freedom. There are other sins that enslave us, but they're more sanitized and they're more accepted. And really, it's kind of okay to be a Christian and have those sins because we just usually say, well, that's just the way that I am. But those sins are just as vicious and just as taking us captive as addictions do. And what I'm talking about here are things that we are controlled by, even when we're following Christ. Things like greed. Things like jealousy and envy that just get a hold of us. And we just say, well, that's the way I am. That's the way my mama was. But they're sins and they capture us. Things like hatred. Things like unforgiveness, things like anger and rage and a temper that flies off the handle, things like filthy language and lies, all of those are sins. And they grab hold of Christians, and we live in them, and we're captive to them. But I'm telling you, if that's you, and if you just say, well, that's just the way I am, or that's the way I've always been, or you don't like it, but you haven't known how to get out from under it, I'm going to tell you this morning that in Christ, He has the power, and He has the authority, and He has the ability to break the chains and to set us free. And it'll change your life, and it'll change your relationships. And so whatever stuff, Jesus has the desire and He has the authority to help us. I want you to hear that this morning. Jesus has the desire to set us free, and He has the authority, the power to actually accomplish it. It really is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I want you to take a look at Luke chapter 4 with me. We're going to be in verse 18 and 19 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus is in His home synagogue. He is asked to go up and read from the scriptures. And it would have been some kind of table, and scrolls would have been on that table. And Jesus opened up one of those scrolls, Luke chapter 4 says, and He began to read. The scroll that He opened was the scroll of Isaiah. And we know it as chapter 61. And in that gathering of family and friends and neighbors, Jesus of Nazareth said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And Jesus read those words in such a way that when He put that scroll down, He looked at that crowd and He said, "Today, in your hearing, that scripture is fulfilled." Do you hear the claim that Jesus was making about Himself? That He was the one who God had sent, who had the desire and the authority to do all of the things that Isaiah 61 had prophesied that the Messiah would do. And this really, in Luke, this becomes Jesus' mission statement. Captives and prisoners will be released. The blind will see. Those who are oppressed will be freed. And so Jesus is coming in to a dark dungeon, and He is turning on lights, and He is unlocking doors, and He is driving out bad guys, and He is inviting everybody in to step out into freedom. Freedom for who? Freedom for prisoners. People who are in bondage because of stuff they did. And captives. People who are in bondage because of stuff done to them. And in that synagogue, that's what Jesus said He came to do. And then, as we start working through Luke, that's what Jesus went out and did. He didn't write a mission statement and then stick it on a wall. He proclaimed a mission statement, and then He went and He did it. In Luke chapter 4, verse 31, He cast out a demonic spirit in a synagogue, in a church service. He cast out a demonic spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verse 38, there's a sick woman, and He steps in and He heals her. And she gets up and she starts cooking supper. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, there is a leper that Jesus touches, and he is clean. In Luke chapter 5, 17, there's a paralyzed man that Jesus says, "Get up and take your mat." And the man stands up and he walks. These were all prisoners. These were all captives. They were all slaves, and they were all oppressed. And Jesus did exactly what He came to do. He set them free, every single one of them, because Jesus had the desire to do it, and Jesus had the authority to do it. And those are really obvious things that Jesus did, obvious ways that Jesus brought them freedom. But if we keep looking, there's some other ways that we may not see as obvious, but it's other ways that Jesus brings freedom into our life. In Luke chapter 4, and, well, I have a wrong verse here. I don't know what verse it is. But anyway, Jesus sets Peter free. What does He set Peter free to do? He sets Peter free to become a fisher of men. That's freedom that Jesus gave Peter to do what God had planned for him to do. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus sets a man free from his sins. That's a little less tangible than setting someone free from paralysis, but it's just as real that Jesus can set us free from our sins. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, there is a woman that Jesus frees from an immoral, sinful life. And that episode is really important because she's in Simon's house, and Jesus makes it clear that the only people who will not ever find this freedom are the people who don't think they need it. Jesus has the desire. Jesus has the authority to set people free. Free from anything. Free from everything. There's not any sin that is stronger than the Lord Jesus. There's not any spiritual being that has more authority than the Lord Jesus. His desire is that his children will be free, and they will live in freedom. And he has the authority to make it happen. I have experienced it. I know what it is, and it's real. And Jesus does this in an interesting way. Because the language of forgiveness is the language of freedom. The language of forgiveness is the language of freedom. The language of freedom is the language of forgiveness. Here's what I mean by that. In the Greek language, they're the same word. Forgiveness and freedom are the same word. When you receive one, you receive the other. And forgiveness isn't just a legal or judicial act by which Jesus sets you free from condemnation. It is that, but it isn't just that. Forgiveness is also freedom. It is reclaiming life. And isn't it beautiful that in Romans 8, chapter 1, both of those concepts are there? Therefore, there's no condemnation. That's a legal, judicial reality that Jesus accomplishes in forgiveness. But then it goes on that through Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There is a new reality, and you can reclaim life in the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for these truths. I pray that you would impress them on us. I pray that they would be compelling to us. And I pray that they would be reality for us. And I pray that for any and all in this room who walk with you, who love you, who worship you, who live for you, but still have some kind of sin that has some kind of hold on them. And Father, they know what that is. They know what that feels like, what that looks like in their life. I pray, Lord, that you would lead them to freedom, to glorious, beautiful freedom, where sin no longer has a hold, where we are free to say no, and free to say yes to you. I pray that you would do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, who has the desire and the power to make it so. Amen. There's some details in the bulletin about our Freedom in Christ course. It's going to be offered. You can register for that class online on our webpage. Just look for the Freedom in Christ banner or button. I'm going to be out of the pulpit next week. Shane's going to come and speak to us, but then on the 17th and the 24th, we're going to continue to talk about this, and we're going to learn about some tools. We're going to learn about some strategies, and we're going to hear from some who've experienced freedom.